You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yes, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the iZrail Network. We gotta get this little quick. We gotta get this show going on quickly because my boy Will T is in pain.
True pain, man. But pain is temporary. Achievements last forever.
This one's all SD. That's some Malcolm X type stuff.
And for those of you who want to know why I'm in pain, if you care, Monday I embarked on a journey. Like Wally, I think like 2 years ago, Wally mentioned that I did a triathlon.
Yes, he did.
I'm trying to train myself, get myself better in better shape, and possibly compete in another triathlon. So Monday I had the grand idea of, hey, I haven't rode my bike in a while. Why not do 35 miles? Why not go from the National Harbor to Georgetown Key Bridge? Terrible idea. There are a lot of effects that happen to your body if you haven't ridden on a bike in a very long time, such as your ass hurts. So I know how.
That sound right.
Hey man, I'm just telling the truth,
man. I hear you.
I'm just telling the truth. Now I know how Jason Collins feel after a wild night.
Go ahead.
Because I am in pain.
So real right now.
I am in pain, and then I had the grand idea. I was like, I read on the internet, actually on the Live Strong website, Lance Armstrong's website. They said, well, you know, if you feel pain, then the next day, what you should try to do is get on again for another 20 minutes. And, you know, that'll help you build up, you know, and so you won't be in pain over the long run. Bad idea. Today, I went and I did another 10 miles. And I was like, nah, I can't do this. So, you know, my whole lower body is in pain from riding on my bike. But, you know.
Nike dropped Lance Armstrong, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They probably was like, that's BS advice you're giving on that website, along with you using PEDs.
Will T can't stop, won't stop, man. Hey, Will T's the man. He came in here walking like Fred G. Sanford. You know what I mean? He had the whole walk. You know what I mean? You could tell the man's in pain. But like the urban sports scene and Kellen Winslow Jr., he's a soldier.
Soldier, man. Like I told you, pain is temporary. Achievements last forever.
Anyway. Like I said earlier, it's the Urban Sports Scene on the iZrail Network. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Wally, and Will T already gave you his dialogue about, you know, what he had to do and also introduced himself. So to listen to our stuff on the iZrail Network, just visit www.izradio.com. Such shows that on there are, The Noise, which airs on Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also check out Backfield Radio. A show that's not another show that's not which is not on the iZrail Network, Clutch Sports Radio, which is hosted by our good friend Darwin. Make sure you check out his podcast. It's www.darwin-sports.com. Also, make sure you check out our homies, Voice of the Fan, at www.blogtalkradio.com/thevoiceofthefan. Two of these individuals. Both of these individuals are not with the iZrail Network, but also their show is posted on our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. Our show is also syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People Real Talk Radio. The site is managed by our good friends from Applegees. Make sure you visit the site. It's www.realpeoplerealtalk.com.
All right, let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
All right. In baseball news today is game two of the Beltway Series.
Let me cut you off when you say Beltway Series.
Sorry.
It's not actually the Beltway Series. It's actually the series of 295.
Okay. That's true.
That's
You're
just
right.
my, that's you know my, what? Just right. my, and it's one of those things, you know, it's one of, it's, I've been hearing it on the radio a lot. It's kind of.
It is 295, actually.
Yeah, it's the battle of 295.
Because you can't get.
BW Parkway.
Can't get to, both of them, you can't get to D.C. on 95. You don't take 95 to get to D.C.
Yeah. You know, it's the battle of 295.
It's both connected. Yeah, you're right. From one spectrum to the other.
Exactly.
All right. In the battle,
didn't mean to cut you off.
Okay. Let me fix this up then. In the battle of 295.
Appreciate that.
All right. The O's are battling the Nats. Right. Game one was taken by the O's. Bryce Harper had. I don't know if Bryce Harper's gonna actually play in the series, but he didn't play in game one.
Well, they're saying he's supposed to DH when he goes to Baltimore.
Okay. Cool. Okay. So Bryce Harper. We'll probably miss the first two games in the series. Well, yeah. game yesterday and today. Right now they're in a rain delay, so hopefully get that game under wraps. But today's game will be the Orioles sensation, the Orioles high prospect Gausman against it won't be Detwiler, it'll be Detwiler's replacement because Detwiler could.
Yeah, guy that just I forgot his name. They just called him up from Double A today. So you know maybe the Nats have an advantage. That's me speaking as a homer because
you're a Yankees fan.
I'm a Yankees and Nats fan.
I'm an Orioles fan. That's known, and I'm a homer.
I said
because HTS home team sports had the Baltimore Orioles, not the Washington.
And I respect that. But you know, when Washington D.C. didn't have a baseball team, I had to look other places, and I wasn't necessarily, you know, I was into the Orioles, but you know their owner, Peter Angelos, the way he went about, you know, dismantling, '96, '97
team? He sure did. You know, I'm not going to
I haven't, you know, really been a fan of
him. Yeah, Mike Mussina go. I've been pissed off for a while. Mike Mussina as a Yankee really annoys me.
Yeah, so, you know, I had to look elsewhere for a team to root for, so I chose the New York Yankees, and now baseball is back into D.C. I'm a Nats fan also. So I think it could work, you know, one National League, one American League team.
All right, real quick, before I get – I'm going to talk about Gausman. Before I get to talk about Gausman – right now, who do you think is the better team, the Nats or the Orioles?
Well, record-wise, you got to go by the Orioles. And the interesting thing, if you go position by position in the lineup, to be honest with you, there may be only three spots where I can say the Nats are better than the Orioles right now, and that's in right field with Bryce Harper, left field with Jason Worth.
No, Bryce is at left.
Excuse me, I got it wrong.
It's okay.
Bryce in left, yeah. Jason Worth in right, and Ian Desmond at shortstop. But I will say I'd rather take the pitching staff of the Nats versus the pitching staff of the Orioles.
You take, you know, you got Matt Wieters, like you mentioned. Matt Wieters is an all-star catcher. Adam Jones, all-star center fielder.
Craig Davis is going to be an all-star third baseman. Yeah, Chris Davis is going to be an all-star third baseman.
You got Manny Machado, who's probably going to be one of the best players in baseball. So, just like, you know, the Nats with Bryce Harper. So, yeah, the Orioles are stacked. Surprisingly stacked all around the board. Even Hardy at shortstop is a Gold Glove shortstop who's up there in the league in home runs. So yeah, right now I'm with you, Will. I think the Orioles have the better team, but let's see when the Nats get healthy. Let's see how productive their team will be. But I posed a question on Facebook, the same question I just told you: who's the better team? My girl Tabitha Mayo says the Nats because it's true, and she's biased. You know, homerism.
Yeah. So it's not
my man Jeremy Gore. You know, Chris and Kamish. Mm-hmm. And they always look out for us. Good homies out there who used to be on the Israel Network said the the Shats are struggling. Birdland, son, and my man Jordan says Charm City. So we'll see. Like I said earlier, it's still early in the season, and I think the Orioles are two games above the Nats, so it's not anything serious right now at the moment.
But just a side note, excuse me, it'll be interesting if the Nats don't grab the division or that wild card spot, because then you'll have a lot of people in the offseason saying you should have went with it last year when Strasburg was coming off the injury. So, you know, that's something that we'll be talking about possibly during the summer months and into the fall if the Nats don't rebound.
Yeah, and also on the Oriole front, what's going to be interesting is when they get this one underway to see what happens with Kevin Gausman. He got touched up against the Toronto Blue Jays. I had the opinion that he came up too early. And he played in Double A. His Double A record was 2-4, but he did have a couple of good starts before they called him up. I still think it's relatively too soon. I thought they should have let him go to Triple A. He's not Strasburg, and even Strasburg went to Triple A with the Nats. So we'll see if the Nats rough him up, if he gets sent down to Triple A, sent down to Triple A, or even sent down to Double A. But hopefully he has a better outing than he had against Toronto. But moving down to pregame, last week we discussed the NBA lottery. And the Wizards, you know, got the third pick overall. What should the Wizards do with this pick?
First of all, they should get rid of Ernie Grunfeld.
But they got the third pick overall.
I mean, they got the third pick overall. Me personally, I would go with Shabazz Muhammad. He's another guy who can create shots for himself and other people on the team, even though he's not that willing of a passer. Yeah, he isn't. they're probably like three options. My number one would be Shabazz Muhammad. My number two would probably be it's kind of toss up between these guys, Anthony Bennett and Otto Porter.
Anthony Bennett from
UNLV.
So I thought
he's a bit.
What about, I've heard about the kid from Kansas,
Ben McLemore. He won't be there. He'll probably, if I, if
he won't be there as the third pick. I mean, there's a chance he will be there.
Well, nah, I don't Noel think he'll one. Be.
Noel, everyone has Noel one. So let's just put that out there. It's not a given that McLemore will be two. It's not a given. Shabazz Muhammad can surpass McLemore possibly.
Well, yeah, that, and I guess that's kind of the intrigue with guys like us who do this thing. Yeah. You know, we speculate about sports and everything like that. I just don't think Ben McLemore will be a right pick because where are you going to play him at?
If no, you got I agree
Bradley
with you.
Beal, if you got Bradley Beal, what are you going to put him as, an undersized three?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the best player. Well, the Wizards aren't in that position to even draft take the best. They got to take the best player.
Yeah, to be honest with you. So, like, if I'm just looking at kind of a need, a players that fill into a need position and also are one of the top talented players, I'd probably go with, like I said, Shabazz Muhammad, number one. Then it'll be a tie, depending on the workout, Otto Porter and Anthony Bennett. The thing about Bennett to me, like, and, you know, like, I like to compare players with a floor versus a ceiling.
Yeah.
His floor to me is probably Paul Millsap because both of them are, like, 6'7", 6'8", kind of undersized power forwards.
Oh, the dark-skinned dude.
Yeah, from Utah.
I mean, from UNLV.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett. Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen it. Okay, I saw him play in a tournament. All right, he did some things that I did like, but his aggressiveness could be better. and at times – I got annoyed about the way he finished around the basket. I mean, he's got good touch. He's got a good post game, but I don't see him. Paul Millsap, that's a good one. That's a good one.
And also, there's
lucky he can be a Zach Randolph, if lucky.
Nah, because he's too undersized. Well, he's a banger. He's a banger. But, you know, to me, there's already
decent
a player.
Around the basket,
decent touch, but there's already a player on the Wizards roster that kind of reminds me of him, body type anyway, and that's Trevor Booker.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, he plays, you know, Anthony Bennett plays below the rim. And, you know, his ceiling to me is, you know, another guy who went to UNLV, Larry Johnson, grandmama. Because, you know, Larry Johnson, they both have a similar build.
Johnson's way more athletic.
Anthony Bennett's athletic.
Not Larry Johnson athletic. That's not – I feel that's unfair. That's just totally unfair.
I think that –
I think that's too high of a ceiling. I think that's 25.
Where would you go?
I would go – I mean, when I mean Z-Bo, I think it could be a Z-Bo. That's a ceiling. I think that's –
Z-Bo?
Larry Johnson, I think we all forget how dominant Larry Johnson was.
Yeah, Larry Johnson was a 2010 guy, yeah, all-star. Like, you know, he had the Charlotte – when they were the Charlotte Hornets, not the new Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, I mean, when he was there, before even Zoe got there, it was a guy who was already dropping 20 as a rookie. I mean, he was special. Grandmama was special.
He was a freight train.
It hurt that, you know, that injury really – set his career back.
We're that back about injury of, took, yeah, his
yeah, we're talking about a real Hall of Famer. We're talking about a real true Hall of Famer.
I think he kind of has that upside potential if he's going to put in the work.
Okay, we'll see. That one, I'm not sure. I'll give you that one. I don't know. I saw him playing in the tournament. And when I looked at Grandmama as a UNLV running rebel, and when I look at him, I just can't do it.
I think you won't see the comparison just because the UNLV team under Jerry Tartanian, they ran a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
And got out on the wing, and Larry Johnson used to have monstrous finishes and putbacks around the basket.
And he did so much, though. Larry Johnson was not just a guy who can play at the post and play above the rim, but he was a good passer out the post. I mean, Larry Johnson he did a lot.
Well, I'm just saying, even though it's big shoes.
And his handle is pretty good, too.
Yeah, even though it's big shoes potentially for him to fill, I say the floor is Paul Millsap, the ceiling. It's Larry Johnson.
But you do know, like, Larry Johnson and Chris Webber are very comparable.
I do, but Chris Webber was more – before the back injury was far more explosive around the basket.
Yeah, actually, I agree. And so he was Larry Johnson, before the back injury.
Yeah, and Chris Webber.
What back injury? You mean the knee injury, right?
The knee injury. And also, Chris Webber was a far more superb pass out of the post.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, he's better pass than Larry Johnson. I'm not putting them in the same regard. But I say he's, like, similar – they're very similar game. Even I think Larry Johnson is a better scorer than Chris Webber.
Only reason I wouldn't use the Chris Webber comparison is just simply the size. Chris Webber was like 6'9", 6'10". And Larry Johnson, like 6'8". Anthony Bennett, both of them around the same height, 6'8", 6'7".
So we'll see. But yeah, let me on Facebook, on the Sports Junkies group, and so on Facebook, my man Blair Hayes says Ben McLemore. He feels the Wizards should draft him. My man Shepard Brown says the Wizards should trade their pick trade their pick for a big man like JaMarcus Cousins. I'm gonna say this real quick. There, JaMarcus Cousins DeMarcus Cousins isn't surviving Sacramento. God forbid this dude comes to DC.
It'll be terrible for him.
No,
it'll be
Anthony, not a good.
It'll just, be Andre Blotch 2.0.
Even worse to me, man. That's a dude that
He's got head. He's got some problems. He's a head case.
Jesus Christ.
But that's an interesting perspective. Use that number three pick as a trade bait. But you got to get a young emerging superstar.
Yeah.
And I don't think no one's willing to give up a young emerging superstar who's on that rookie contract just because of the economics of the NBA cap.
Yeah. So, those are a couple folks. People. My man, Dwayne Bosby on the same group. Has Otto Porter. Otto Porter be a good fit. I'm gonna say as a Hoya fan, I don't want Otto Porter playing for the Washington Wizards.
Nah, I think Otto Porter, to me, his game is kind of Kawhi Leonard a little bit. Just simply, he's not a guy who's going to be your number one established scorer. If you put him in as a number two or number three scorer, I think he'll shine. But you know, there's another guy out of Georgetown, Jeff Green, who came into the league with OKC. They were Seattle Supersonics back then. And, you know, he was put into the role where he had to be one of the leading scorers, and his game didn't necessarily translate into being one of the top two scorers on the team.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I know, yeah, Kawhi Leonard, he shoots better Kawhi Leonard than me. But I think he's a better post player than Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I think he's a better overall. I think they have similar attributes.
No, I agree. I think the length. I think Kawhi Leonard is a far better defender, though.
Yeah, I definitely give you that.
Yeah, I think he's a far better defender. Anyway, let's move on down to pregame. Let's go to the NFL. Michael Crabtree blew out his Achilles tendon during OTAs. Big hit for the Niners.
Yeah, potentially because of the way Michael Crabtree and Colin Kaepernick were connecting towards the end of the year and into the playoffs. But luckily, that's why they drafted a wide receiver last year in the first round, Jenkins. Then they also picked up Patton, and they also brought in, Anquan Boldin.
Yeah.
So you have guys that are able, you know, you might want to bring in. I doubt they're going to bring back Randy Moss, but, you know, he's a possibility. And you also have the guy Kyle Williams, you know, who fumbled those two fumbles.
Yeah, he missed all last season with the injury, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Will. Hopefully they bring back Randy Moss. I'm a Randy Moss fan, so
I know you are.
See Randy Moss in the NFL. But let's move on to another topic. Brian Urlacher retired last week. Is he a Hall of Famer in your eyes?
That's an interesting question. I'll say yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't think it's that hard.
I don't think it's that hard. You know, a lot of people are going to give you a lot of fight back just because, you know, they'll say, oh, only because he played in Chicago, that's why he's a Hall of Famer. He played in a huge market. If he played in Detroit or if he played in even Kansas City is a football.
Arizona,
that people don't think he'll be a Hall of Famer, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer. I think, you know, if you are consistently one of the top players at your position, you also win the Defensive Player of the Year award. He's a Hall of Famer.
To me, he's a Hall of Famer. when you break down a linebacker, does he make the tackles? Yes, he makes the tackles. When he was young, when he was healthy 100%, he made tackles. Can he play the pass? Yes, he can play the
Absolutely.
Pass too. So, what was his weaknesses? And he could he run? He could run.
He revolutionized the game as being a Tampa 2 middle linebacker
exactly.
Because he used to cover some 20 yards down the field.
Because he played safety in college. So
exactly.
I mean, to me, he's a Hall of Famer. I posed the same question on Facebook on our Urban Sports Scene site on Facebook. Ron said, tough, but he would say no. Great player, but not a Hall of Famer. And like I said, I disagree with you, Ron. And my boy Keith Stover said, should he be? It's 50-50, but he'll get in just because their D has been so good over the years and they'll have – they'll say he was the anchor of the defense. He was the anchor of the defense, but that was him. You know, to me, when Brian Urlacher is out, they're not the same defense. You know, Lance Briggs looks good, but
Lance Briggs is a guy who could potentially be a Hall of Famer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but when you look at the defense, when Urlacher was out, it is so different than
what
they are.
Night and day.
It is, believe me. So the plays out there aren't made as much. When he's out there, even when he came back hurt, He had a couple picks. He made plays. So, to me, he's a Hall of Famer. He makes big plays.
One idea, want to bounce off you. You think they will move Lance Briggs into the middle linebacker position if they struggle? Defense struggles?
He got speed sideline to sideline. He got to pick Brian Urlacher's brain. They were good friends. I definitely could see that.
I also see that happening, too.
Yeah. And he's a guy, to me, he looks like the guy who can do both. NFL, Charles Woodson signs with Oakland Raiders. I don't know why either.
I guess it has to do more with emotional ties. Coming full circle. As everyone knows, he started out his Hall of Fame, well, soon to be Hall of Fame career with Oakland. You know, he wants to bring it full circle. They're saying that actually the Denver Broncos gave him a very comparable.
I'm sure they did.
excuse me, contract. So, you know. This is definitely a team that's in the rebuilding phase, but I guess he wants to be like that veteran presence that kind of lays the foundation for the Raiders the next couple of years as they transition. Because, you know, if you think about it, you know, like we stated last during the draft, next offseason the Raiders would be like $50 million under the cap because they got rid of a lot of those big contracts. So we'll see. I guess he wants to lay the foundation for the future and become – full circle.
I'm a Charles Woodson fan for years. I don't get the move, but like you said, I guess it's a nostalgic feeling.
I guess, and, you know, he already has his Super Bowl in his Super Bowl. He already has.
Niggas don't want to get greedy.
A defensive MVP.
Niggas don't want to be greedy.
I mean, he's not a greedy guy. He gave like, you know, $1 million to creating a hospital at his alma mater. I don't know if he graduated.
But, he graduated from Michigan.
Okay. Yeah, he gave $1 million.
Let me take that back. I believe he graduated from Michigan.
Michigan attendee.
He's one of the most influential individuals to ever come out of the University of Michigan.
I'll give you that. The last defensive Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, I know. We have a lot of great Heisman Trophy winners. Anyway, I'm going to skip the tennis things. Now. I don't need to talk about Rafael Nadal. He's back. In the French Open, that's all you need to know. Rafael Nadal is back.
Yeah, and
hoping
if you,
to win it. He only lost once in the French Open, so hopefully he wins it all.
If you want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you can catch it on ESPN.
Extra early, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was actually upset because on Monday, you know, when it was Memorial Day, it ran into First Take, and I love First Take. 10 o'clock.
I'm watching First Take today.
Yeah, it's a very good show.
It's a decent show, you know what I mean?
I don't think it's decent. I think it's become must-watch TV for a hard spot to fill at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I hear you. It's a decent show. First Take. Skip Bayless. I'll say this. Skip Bayless is definitely softened up.
Yeah, he doesn't go as hard as he used to.
No, not at all. I think he understands how ignorant he was. I think he's still ignorant, but I think to a certain point, I think he's seen – What his ignorance has rubbed off on people.
Like, he's seen the light.
Yeah, he has. All right, let's move on down to pregame. Let's go to something that Will knows about. And Will, we're getting boxing credentials for the, you know, I emailed it to you anyway. But Saturday, Carl Froch defeated Mikael Kessler.
Did you get a chance to watch it?
I watched the fight. Froch, he moved around, changed his style a little bit. It still was a slugfest to a certain extent, but he did move around. And I thought it was more interesting after the fight how much respect but disrespect he showed Andre Ward.
Absolutely. I mean, just that's Carl Froch's MO, you know, especially in his backyard. Carl Froch, his style, you know, he throws a lot of punches from a lot of different angles.
Because of long
arms. But I think more than anything, he imposed his will over Kessler.
Yeah.
He wanted it a lot more than Kessler. I think that fight was actually a lot closer than a lot of people think. But it's, you know, it's definitely gotten a lot of people anticipating or excited about a possible rematch, Andre Ward, Carl Froch. I'm not necessarily excited about it because
What about him just fighting Kessler for part three?
Well,
he made it sound as if that he would be more excited fighting Kessler than Andre.
Well, Kessler, you know, before the fight, I think he had 1 foot out, 1 foot in, because he was clearly saying, you know, if I lose this fight, I'm going to retire.
Even though,
you know, he came in at superb shape, I think 166 pounds, some of the best shape he's come in his life. But he made a big fuss about fighting in England.
Yeah.
That may have had, you know, some of the anxiety may have had something to do with him losing the extra weight. But, you know, if both guys hard are in it, it'll be an excellent fight.
Yeah.
But most likely, you know, you're probably going to see Ward, Froch again over in England. I've always stated.
Over in England? Why you got to fight him in England? Because he's going to get cheated.
More money.
Oh, really? More money?
It's more money. Okay. You know, Andre Ward's a guy who hasn't lost since he was an amateur, since he was 12 years old.
Yeah, I know. Dude is a monster.
He's a monster. He could fight just about any style. His fights aren't necessarily most exciting.
Well, I mean, he's a boxer. He wins. I mean, it's not like he's Bernard Hopkins. He's not as...
Oh, yeah. He throws a lot of rabbit punches, hitting people behind the head.
Oh, yeah, I know. But he's not like Bernard Hopkins, where I think he makes it stagnant. I think he does. I know Andre Ward does what he has to take. Does what it takes to win. But at the same time, to me, his style is still pleasant to me. I can still watch him. You know what I mean? I think Bernard Hopkins likes to slow it down a little bit too much and things of that sort. But Bernard Hopkins is a great boxer. I'm not taking it away from him. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, I can watch Andre Ward. Like, we did Chad Dawson. That was good TV. That was good boxing. Mm-hmm. You can't say that wasn't good boxing. That was – if you like the sweet science of boxing, like Will likes to say, like, you watch – Andre Ward, what he did to Chad Dawson, yeah, it looked pretty.
Yeah, he destroyed him over. I think it was Frost 9 rounds.
He's not in Andre Ward's style. He's not in his class. Excuse me.
No, I mean, because to be honest with you, Andre Ward probably before he leaves super middleweight will be the greatest fighter ever at the division. You know, Joe Calzaghe retired undefeated. Joe Calzaghe, you know, retired some people abruptly and before his time, but. Mm-hmm. There's actually talk that Andre Ward said when he goes and beats Carl Froch, he wants Joe Calzaghe to come out of retirement so they can end the discussion over who's the greatest at 168 all time.
Well, I like that. I like that. I'm a fan of
that. That would be a great fight.
So you think Froch is fighting Ward next, not Kessler?
If I had to guess, I would say yeah. Just because the Kessler fight always be there, and if Froch loses, mm-hmm. you always have that backup, another big payday for him and Kessler. So I think you'll probably see Ward next. Hopefully, you know, there's a lot of talk that Chavez Jr. will be moving to 168. And that's the type of fight Ward actually needs, a huge name with a lot of popularity. That'll be a slugfest, a really great, you know,
I like to see
fight.
That one, actually.
Yeah, it'll be a great fight. You know, both guys like to work on the inside. Throw a lot of power shots when they're on the inside. So, you know, a couple things on the table for Andre Ward. So we'll see what happens over the next coming months.
All right, let's go down to pregame. Let's go to WNBA. I know it's a surprise we never talk about female basketball.
Yeah,
but this is different, though. This is different. Brittany Griner and Skylar Diggins made their debut last week. Will this be like the Bird Magic boost? I know even the chick from Delaware, you know, she's out there too. So, will this be the popularity that WNBA has been striving for?
I think it will, just because simply Brittany Griner can play above the rim. I think in the history of the WNBA, there's only been 5 dunks, and Brittany Griner has two of them already. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she'll definitely bring a certain level of excitement to the game. People will want to see, you know, how she's dominating the women's game. Skylar Diggins, she has mad skills, but she's very attractive, so that's why
she brings that sex appeal. Let's just be real. I mean,
so that's what she'll bring to the WNBA. She'll be a face for Madison Avenue.
Yeah, exactly. And even the chick from Delaware looks all right. So
absolutely.
So I can't say her name, but she can ball. She led the nation in scoring. Is she the all-time leading scorer in female college basketball?
I'm not sure.
Oh, well, let's put it this way. She led the nation in scoring. Let's be as factual as we could be. It can be. So yeah, I think there's an opportunity for the WNBA to have their popularity value up, and hopefully that happens and they'll get what they need. I think I've always stated that if we watch it from the beginning to now,
the game has evolved.
It is. It's evolved, and the class of it and the improvement of ball play is so much better than it was in the beginning.
Absolutely.
So much better. Back then, layups weren't made. Now layups being made, chicks are dunking.
Women, not chicks.
Chicks are dunking. Girls don't have a problem with me saying chicks, dog. Seriously. Why don't we get into this? Like, last week was the same thing.
I'm just trying to be politically correct.
What's wrong with me saying chicks? I ain't calling them.
There's nothing wrong with saying it. I just think we should use the politically correct.
Anyway,
Urban Sports. Describing our female audience.
All right, true talk. Real talk. Real quick. I mentioned before, we're about to be, the boxer.
Seth Mitchell.
Clinton, maybe will be attending one of the events, and maybe he'll be able to interview Seth Mitchell for the Urban Sports thing. If that can go down, Tom Block, we'll put him on notice last week, and now it's coming out there.
Yeah, but we still want September 7th. We want press credentials to Danny Garcia versus Lucas the Machine Matisse, Verizon Center,
so
baby.
So basically, Tom Block, what we're saying, this is cool, but we still want, we want to eat.
This is an appetizer.
Yeah, we want to eat. You know what I mean? This is what we call, like, this pregame. Like the thing, that's pregame. We Thanksgiving it, though.
Exactly.
All right, Will T, we want to eat. You know what I mean? Not that stuff. When Denard Robson told Trey Wingo, I'm trying to eat, and he thought he was actually hungry. Nah, we trying to eat for real. You know what I mean? We trying to eat.
For real.
For real. You know what I mean? Take that, all right? Anyway, Urban Sports Team on Eyes Radio, about to hit a commercial break. We talked about basketball, with, you know, Skylar Diggins bringing excitement to the WNBA. Well, guess what? Tim Duncan has brought excitement to the league since he came in here. I don't care anybody says that he's born. He's brought excitement with his success in the league for ages. Anyway, we'll be talking about him, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, getting to the NBA Finals. Urban Sports Team on Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss. Every headline. Blow it all up. Because all that matters is what you do next.
I'm feeling it. Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it. So buy another round and try to shut us down. About an hour ago, but we still in this.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep, you know, we'll keep the hits coming.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Team website, which is www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@eyesradio.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. Blog Talk Radio is spelled BLOGTALKRADIO. West Coast WC Steeler Fan is spelled WC Steeler Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. Anyway, all right, it's the NBA playoffs. I mentioned the Spurs eliminating the Grizzlies yesterday. Last night. First, let's talk about the game and what happened in that game.
What happened is the game is just Tony Parker just dominated. 37 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 rebounds. he couldn't be stopped. You know, and also you couple that with Zach Randolph, who I feel didn't get any calls during the series.
Height's a problem.
Yeah, the height, you know, Tiago Splitter and Tim Duncan, you know, you're able to, and Kawhi Leonard, who has like a 7'1" wingspan when, you know, you bring him on a double. But I guess it's just a perfect storm for the Spurs now. No, go ahead.
No, I think the series shows a lot, shows people who out there in Memphis Grizzlyland that were saying, like, all right, we don't need a Rudy Gay. The series like this is when you need a Rudy Gay.
Yeah, you need a guy who can, on the wing,
can do damage,
can create shots for himself.
There was only one,
and others.
There's one player if they had on it on this team, which is a mismatch. The Tim Duncan bothers Debo because of height, because he's longer, and Splitter because they're height, they're longer. And Tim Duncan's still a good defender. He's always been a good defender. He's never been the most athletic player in the NBA, but he's always been a good defender. Tiago Splitter, decent defender. So they all, these are bigs who have height and who can block shots. So that's going to automatically make it difficult for Azebo and Gasol. You know, Gasol is good. I'm saying it's going to make it difficult. The only player that would and Conley Jr. has to worry about, who played well, I mean, throughout the playoffs, has to worry about Tony Parker a lot. So that's an issue. I think Tony Allen was guarding him most of the time anyway. Tony Parker. But when you got Rudy Gay, you're talking about a 6'8 guy who get his own shot off. There's no way you're blocking his shot because he rises above you. He's a decent shooter. He can shoot from the perimeter. He can post up. that's a player that you need from the wing. And this was the series they missed him. Yeah, I told folks before. Against the Clippers, Blake Griffin got hurt, made it easier for
soft.
You. He's soft, but it made it easier for you. And Vinny Dernego is not a good coach. I've always stated that. Against OKC, Russell Westbrook was out. So you've already had an easier way to the finals. This was a game that you needed a perimeter player to step up, a perimeter supreme talented player to step up, and you didn't have him because he's in Toronto.
Absolutely. I agree with you. one more thing. You know, the report came out last week that Tim Duncan is going through a divorce. That dude is a true professional. You couldn't tell. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dang, tough.
Yeah, tough.
Tiger Woods can.
Hate it had to be him. Yeah. She wasn't with you in the gym shooting.
She was shooting with you in the gym. She trying to get money? How much money?
I don't know. I don't know the particulars. He's keeping it
you cool.
Pretty, you know, quiet. Pretty quiet, pretty down low, which is, you know, his personality, which uh-huh. is him. But most people would have been, their mental would have been, you know, ish.
Their mentality, yeah.
Yeah, but he has gone out stone-faced and dominated this series, dominated just about every series he's played in the playoffs. That guy's a true professional. And me personally, I can't wait to see them versus Miami.
Me too. I think it'll be great TV. You mentioned Tony Parker. He dominated what, closing game, game four. Where do you have him ranked as point guards? I know we always talk about Chris Paul being the best point guard. But, you know, with performances like this,
right.
for most of the season, he was known as an MVP candidate.
I'm going to say all point guards are healthy.
Yeah.
Just off their level of play. I still have to go Chris Paul, number one. Derrick Rose, number two. You can make the case Tony Parker would be the third best point guard.
Yeah.
Then Deron Williams and a guy who – Kyrie Irving. And I hope this guy really emerges to be the star that he is because he has a lot of physical talent. John Wall. I don't include Russell Westbrook as a point guard.
Okay, Russell, you're forgetting somebody. A guy who just like dominated
Conley?
No, the NBA playoffs for a while before San Antonio knocked him out. We're talking about Steph Curry.
Steph Curry? He's one of those guys I don't consider a point guard either, but
why?
He plays the point guard position.
He gets 10 assists, he gets players, he gets players involved. Yeah, he does. Can shoot he can stroke the three ball like anybody else.
He does, but you know, with me, I go off of longevity.
Because he has Tony, but don't forget, really, truth be told, I mean,
no,
he embarrassed Tony Parker.
He did, you know, and truth be told, when Tony Parker retires, a lot of people don't know this, he'll definitely be a Hall of Famer if you look at the stats.
Oh, Tony Parker will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he'll have over 12,000 assists and over 21,000 points.
Oh, I agree. I think Tony Parker is a Hall of Famer. I think being San Antonio kind of clouds people's judgment about the actual talent that's involved in that team. Look, all right, for instance, like, let's go to Pop. Should Pop be considered one of the best coach of all time? Or should he be in that list when we talk about one of the best coaches to ever even be on the sideline?
I do. I think he is. He's won four championships. A lot of people will debate, well, he was fortunate to have David Robinson, then Tim Duncan. That doesn't mean anything. Look at a guy like
Phil Jackson, fortunate to have Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
Shaq,
you know, and then
Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
Exactly, and then you got to look at other coaches who have been blessed to play to have superior talent, like two All Stars, and they still didn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
you know, even though LeBron didn't have a lot in Cleveland, but you know, Mike Brown in Cleveland, you know, he had LeBron. He took him. LeBron took him to one Finals against the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I always put, when I think of Pop, I think of a guy who, to me, all right, look, his first championship, he had Avery Johnson at the helm. And, you know, he had
– It was Robinson, a strike-to-strike short strike, season strike against short the New York Knicks.
But I don't really – you know, but everybody played. Everybody played. You had Dave Robinson, who wasn't the same Dave Robinson. You had Tim Duncan, who – Was the young star Tim Duncan, who was unstoppable. And you know that Tim Duncan used to go against, you know, Kobe and Shaq, and dominate that series.
Let me ask you an interesting question.
Go ahead.
Looking at careers, who's had the better career, Tim Duncan or Kobe?
I'm talking about Will. That was an outline too, man. You know it, man. You're good.
I'll
be honest with you, and this is a non-biased thing. I'm being honest. I'm being real. It's Tim Duncan to me. And I'm going to tell you why I think it's Tim Duncan. Because, You know, and this is why I feel like he gets disrespected. Tim Duncan, everybody talks about Kobe Bryant as being the GOAT, you know, being compared to being, you know, the GOAT. When we have a discussion, who's the GOAT, blah, blah, blah. But why is Tim Duncan never in discussion? He's been in the finals how many times?
Four times.
How many times have you lost the finals?
Zero.
Exactly. So he's 4 for 4. Also, he's been MVP, I believe, 2 out of 4. MVP of the finals, 2 out of 4. He knocked out, and to me, this is the telling argument. This is a telling argument.
I think it's 3 out of 4, actually.
Maybe 3 out of 4. I'm sorry. Maybe
yeah, Tony Parker got one. Was the last one.
3 out of 4. And then this is the telling argument to me. The telling point, excuse me. And when we compare, if we compare Kobe and Tim Duncan, when that Lakers team was strong, and I mean strong, when it was Shaq in his prime and Kobe Bryant against Tim Duncan, a done David Robinson, a Tony Parker who couldn't really shoot, couldn't really make a jump shot. Tim Duncan dominated that series. It wasn't really more that the Spurs was a better team. Obviously, Pop was a good coach, but when we used to lose to San Antonio, Tim Duncan used to dominate, the most dominant player in the NBA, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, the most physically dominant. Yes, player.
And when you look at, and when I always look at it, I'm like, when I used to watch Tim Duncan, I was like, that was one team I never wanted to play in the playoffs. One team because of one player. One player. And for Tim Duncan to beat that Lakers team, even when that Lakers team, and they would always give problems, they always give that Lakers team problems. You know, Derek Fisher making that lucky shot. You know, they had that game. For real, they had that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. When you look at Tim Duncan, that's the kind of player that I look at. I look at a guy who can go against your two best players and still come out on top.
I totally agree with you, my man.
So, I mean, but I posed a question about Tim Duncan on Facebook, too. Trying to find it real quick. Let's see. It was on which group?
All right, while you look for it, let me ask you another question.
Ask another question.
Tim Duncan versus Shaq.
Tim Duncan. And I'm a Shaq fan. Yeah. You know I'm a Shaq fan. I'm just Tim Duncan. I can't go against Tim Duncan because he went against two giants, and he came out on top a lot. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the Lakers had their run, but at the time, like, Tony Parker wasn't even this good.
Yeah, and if you honestly look at it and think about it, for maybe 2 out of those 4, you could make the point maybe even – definitely for 2 out of those 4 – Tim Duncan was the best player, and you know Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker weren't playing at the level that they were playing at.
Not
now.
At all. You
I think at the third one, Manu Ginobili definitely raised his play, and he was a little bit on par, better, you know, on par as an All Star. But that team still ran through Tim Duncan.
Yeah, I mean, like when you look at like it's not that hard to me. It really isn't that complicated. Tim Duncan has been the best player in this generation. I feel like in the generation we're speaking of, with, you know, Kobe, Allen Iverson, Shaq.
Allen Iverson, Vince Carter.
It really isn't that complicated. It's really not that difficult when you're like, all right, well, who's the best player in that era? It's got to be, to me, it's got to be
Tim Duncan.
It's got to be Tim Duncan. So I can't find it. I actually can't find it. I'm really looking for this joint, too. I can't find it.
That's okay, man.
Sorry, it's okay. I can't find it.
On to the next one.
On to the next one. All right, so do you see this team? All right, this team is 12-2 in the postseason. No one knows this Spurs are 12-2 in this postseason. Do you see them, whoever they play in the NBA Finals, do you think they can win the NBA Finals?
50-50. If they play Indiana, 70-30.
Okay.
But if they play Miami, it's definitely 50-50 because you know that Pop isn't going to necessarily come with the double team all the time and leave those shooters open for Miami. You know, even though Kawhi Leonard will have to play LeBron out on the box, down on the box, he definitely is able of devising a defensive scheme to kind of neutralize what he does. The best thing, if Miami plays, they could do is get LeBron the ball, on the elbow. Get him the ball on the elbow, so he has the opportunity to go either right or left. Don't put him in the post because Pop will come with a double team and make you, you know, he might double off of Tim Duncan. He might double with Tiago Splitter, and it'll make it very, very hard for LeBron to pass out of that double team on the block.
I think LeBron will have a good – I think LeBron can beat the Spurs. I just think he's a different level. I mean, this is his championship to have. But I do, you know, I said this all the time, is that Memphis would pose the more more of a threat to the San Antonio, to the Miami Heat compared to the San Antonio Spurs. I think that the only reason is because I feel like Miami can run. They can run, and they can run San Antonio out the gym. The same problems they had with OKC. This is a team that can run when you're running with the best player.
Yeah, in the but San Antonio is very efficient offensively.
They were efficient last season offensively.
Which I mean they won't miss a lot of shots. So Miami might not get out and be having the ability to run.
My thing is they were efficient against OKC. They're efficient offense, but when they play a team that can run, especially with difference between OKC and even this team, this Heat team defends even better than the OKC team. So you're gonna have, to me, you have the two of the best wingmen who are gonna run and finish, who're gonna finish around the basket, and that's the LeBron James and Dwayne Wade.
If Dwayne Wade isn't injured,
you believe that crap? That dude ain't hurt. That dude got Gabriel Union. He ain't hurt. Anyway, I found what I'm looking for.
Okay.
All right. So referring to Tim Duncan's legacy. saying where if he does win this NBA championship,
which will be his fifth title,
it'll be 5 for 5. Where is his legacy? What is his legacy? Folks say, don't think it changes his legacy. I think his is already stamped win or lose as arguably the greatest power forward to ever lace up.
Spell check, people. Spell check.
Hey, there's some things on here that. No commas and nothing. That doesn't sound. I'm a fan.
That's why I'm not on it.
I'm a fan of commas. All right. My man, and that was my man Harold. My man, Roro Jingy Davis, said exactly, basically agreeing with Harold. Most of the stuff they agree. Think that his career is what it is. my problem with that is it's not, to me, it's stamped. He's obviously one of the best players to ever do it. My argument with that, the whole thing, is that, how come when we talk about Tim Duncan, I feel like maybe it's a San Antonio thing. We don't talk about him at GOAT level. Yeah, we talk about other people on GOAT level.
And I don't mean to cut you off. I think he gets a fifth ring, it elevates him. Because you got to look at it.
Five.
Yeah, even though Jordan had six, this era that I think that Jordan's era, they had better teams, better fundamentals.
Yeah.
People knew how to play basketball as a team better. Mm-hmm. But individual talent, there's far more individual talent in this era versus the Jordan era.
I hear you. No, I just think 5 and 5 because, you know, the argument, when people have argument against Kobe Bryant for Jordan, it's like, oh, he lost the finals. Or against LeBron James, he lost to the Spurs. He lost to the Dallas Mavericks. Tim Duncan hasn't lost to anybody.
And he'll be the best player on that team.
Yeah, exactly. So how come he's not in that discussion? Is it something that bigs get discriminated against?
It's his personality. He's real low key.
All right, well, it's interesting. Anyway, thanks y'all. Thanks everybody for, you know, commenting on these little Facebook groups and commenting on our stuff. We appreciate it.
We appreciate the love, man.
We're about another commercial break anyway. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the other series, the Eastern Conference Finals.
It's actually going on tonight.
Yeah, 8:30. So we'll be talking about that. Urban Sports Center Eyes Radio.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
Let you down, I'ma shine on sight. Keep your mind on your grind and off of mine's alright.
You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Apple G's Radio Show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian.
What's up, people?
Yeah, we miss y'all. Hopefully y'all have us on. Hopefully your show's back up. I gotta contact you. Coach makes comments on my Facebook, my personal Facebook page. I don't need to ask him about what's going on, though.
Yeah, that's what's up, man.
Yeah, we shoot the breeze. Coach is funny as hell, to be honest with you. That's real talk. He's funny on Facebook.
Now, that's real talk. You don't understand. That's an inside joke from when we first started out.
We were supposed to have a segment, real talk.
Kind of got scrapped along with blogging daily.
Exactly. Oh, man. Anyway, like I mentioned, Pacers Heat Series. The Heat is up 2-1. What did the Heat do a couple nights ago to recapture the momentum?
LeBron James on the block.
Yes, indeed. That's all you need to know.
That's where it all starts from. When you come with that double, you leave the shooters open. Even though Battier and Ray Allen haven't been knocking down shots at a rate that they usually do, it also opens up the offense because, you know, you pass it to another guy, he drives the lane, you know, draws another defender, dumps it off for an easy bucket. Also, I feel as if the Heat closed out on three-point shooters a lot better. You know, the first two games, you know, they gave guys better opportunity of shots. This game, the third game, they didn't. And also, I think the Indiana Pacers were feeling themselves a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they took one from Miami. Exactly. In Miami.
You know what Steve Smith said?
What's that?
Stephen A. Smith was like, after they took that W, they was heading up South Beach.
It happens. I can definitely see that happen. You know, you got a young team.
Yeah.
Those guys were feeling themselves, just got a win. Yeah. Club live. I can see that happening, man. Or maybe Wet Willies. Yeah. Wet Willies. Call a cab.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that happens.
It definitely can happen. I'm agreeing with you, Will. LeBron on the block. And we always say this term, playing ball. You know, I play ball. Will plays ball. Man, there's a mouse in the house.
Yeah.
I'm Paul George. I love your game, man. But you a mouse in that house, boy. LeBron got Karl Malone's body and weight. You were actual real
with Jordan's real quickness, with Jordan's quickness and leaping ability in his prime.
Yeah, and Magic Johnson's passing ability. So you ain't nothing you can really do. You get five dribbles. You give him five dribbles to get down low
before you bring the double.
Yeah,
it's over.
Hey, mouse in the house. So it really what Indiana's gonna need to do is correct that. I know they don't like the double, so they're gonna have to leave their man. And if you're taking LeBron five dribbles to get to where he wants to get at, you're going to have to leave your man and leave one of these shooters open. You're just going to have to sacrifice it. You got to do what you got to do. That's what happens when you play one of the best players, the best player in the game, and a guy who is an unselfish star. I know, you're scared that he's going to find these open three-point shooters, but pick your poison. That's what basketball is about.
Yeah, to me personally, I know I might have said six, but I actually see this over in five.
Yeah, I know I said six too.
I really see this over in five because if you look at a couple of variables, even though, you know, no one expect Chris Birdman Anderson to, you know,
Birdman
to be perfect from the field. But what you do know is the guy will give you rebounding and defense and run the floor. Once Ray Allen and Shane Battier are able to knock down the jumper,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
And everybody talks about Birdman like he can't keep up this, you know, this trend of not missing shots. But at the same time, I'm not gonna talk about Shane Battier because he's a spot shooter. But you don't think that Ray Allen's gonna stay on his funk.
He's too good of a shooter. And pretty soon you'll see Ray Allen putting the ball on the ground and going to the basket.
Yeah.
Or coming for the 17 to 18 foot pull up.
Yeah. So eventually Ray Allen will snap out of it. I'm not gonna speak for, you know, Shane Battier. Hopefully you're hoping he'll snap out of it. He's a decent shooter. I'm not saying he's not, but we're talking about Ray Allen. We're talking about probably one of the best shooters to ever play the game. So we all talk about Chris Anderson. It's like, well, if Chris Anderson, he has to come back down. But at the same time, Ray Allen got to come back up. You know what I mean? So it's an even mix. You got to think about it. Like, all right, if Chris Anderson comes down, bet you then Ray Allen comes back up.
And then you also have Udonis Haslam knocking down open shots in game three. You also have Chris Bosh, who's consistent from that 15 all the way out to the three-point line. Norris Cole is very speedy. He's able to keep up with George Hill.
He's been Amar'e Thomas to me. I'm sorry.
I think Chalmers, just because of his body, he's a little bit bigger, gives point guards a little bit more trouble on the defensive end because he has longer arms, is able to get blocked there.
I think Cole is a better defender because I think he's more of a pest. He's like, to me,
I think Cole,
he's like a poor man's Lindsey Hunter.
I think Cole, Norris Cole, he plays in spurts.
Okay, I hear you.
And he has spurts, spurts where on a defensive end, he really aggressively gets at you.
You don't think Chalmers plays in spurts? I think Chalmers plays dumb. I mean, bluntly, I think he plays too dumb at times.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think Chalmers turns up the defensive intensity like Cole for on a certain level when he's on the floor. Yeah. I think, you know, come fourth quarter, you know, when he has to defend strong, he will. But for the first three quarters, he'll, you know, get into the passing lane with his long arms, obstruct the point guard's view from passing, and also obstruct their view when they're shooting by putting a hand in their face.
All right, let's go to the Pacers real quick. What do you think the Pacers need to do to take game four?
Pray.
Pray? That's all they can do?
I think that's all it can do. I'll put it like this.
Me, man.
I think you got to go more high-low with David West and Roy Hibbert.
Got to.
I think you need to go more high-low.
Big up to Roy Hibbert, man. We got to big up to Roy Hibbert. Georgetown Destroyed, Georgetown Prep. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, he's definitely turning up this playoff season during this series. Yeah. I think you need more high-low with David West and Roy Hibbert. You have to come out and establish Roy Hibbert in the post, first thing. I think, two, you need to get Paul George out on the wing running and get easy shots, slam dunks, layups. And also, I think you got to go back to the pick and roll. Mm-hmm. You got to go back to the pick and roll with George Hill and, you know, Roy Hibbert. You know, get the mismatch. You know, get Bosch to switch out on George Hill, and then, you know, get I'm having a blank. Mario Chalmers, try to get him in awkward situations where he has to defend Roy Hibbert, and they have to bring the double and get guys open shots on the wing.
Big thing for me is, like you said, you gotta have David West and my man Roy Hibbert dominate the game. That's easy. That has to be done. Secondly, Paul George has to keep trying to start fast. Can't start bad. Can't start slow in the first quarter. Got to start fast, and he's got to play at a high level. He's got to play at a dominant level. He's got to play in a level, not to say LeBron James, but he's got to play in a level to a point where he did in game one and game two.
But one thing I have noticed about Miami in game three and game one, the two games that they won, the spacing on the floor has been far more superior than game two, that loss.
There's one thing Miami has to worry about, and they've done this throughout the season, and just like when you talk about the Indiana Pacers, the Miami Heat have known to be complacent, and if they play complacent in this game, in game four, they will lose.
And I think the best thing for Miami was getting away from South Beach.
Yeah, I think so,
absolutely,
too.
I think agree. They don't play with a certain level of intensity for whatever reason.
You see them chicks, man?
When they're in Miami, when they're on the road.
See them chicks?
I see them chicks, man. See women, excuse me.
It's hot. You see, you with me. You see, you with me with chicks. Don't play it off. You with me with
I'm
chicks.
Trying to be politically correct.
Them chicks are bad, man.
Yeah.
The tans. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. Had a moment.
Yeah,
had a moment
going off on a tangent. It's
sorry,
understandable.
Sorry.
Think about the women in Miami can do that to you.
Yeah, I know. They can't. They really can't.
But yeah. I truly believe that this Miami Heat team plays a little bit better away from Miami. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think they'll get game three today.
Yeah.
And I think they will close it out Thursday back in Miami.
Yeah, I think Miami's on top with you. I think Miami takes this game. I think LeBron James, you know, I think he's just in a different level. I don't want to be redundant because I've been saying the whole season. He's on a mission. He's on a mission to show the world that he's the best player in the world, and he's on a mission to me to say that he's trying to be the best player ever. And I don't if you don't see the way he's playing and you can't gauge that, then you're blind. I think he's just on a supreme mission to show here. I think he knows he's the best player in the league. That's easy. You can see that.
Now he's playing for history.
He's playing for history, and you can tell. And, you know, a guy, the back-to-back MVPs, chance to be back-to-back championships, and has the opportunity to be back-to-back NBA Final MVP. So he's definitely you can see he's focused. And what Miami has to do to make sure the main thing for Miami to win this game is to not be complacent. Play the same way you played in game three. They play that same way. With the same intensity, they win this game. There's no way there's no way the Pacers should be able to compete with this team.
Absolutely not.
All right, well, so I think you mentioned it. We both said this before, though. If the Heat plays the Spurs, I think we both agree. When did he play the Spurs in the finals? Because we're going to be in Jazz's watching game one.
Game one, of course. Jazz, you know, everybody, if you want to show love to us, come up,
here,
game, yeah, come up to Jazz's game one.
Game one.
Wally and me will be there. Yeah. You all know what Wally looks like because he's on Instagram and Facebook.
Exactly. And
I'll be the guy right beside him.
If you're a chick, make sure if you're coming down to watch the game, bring your bras so I can sign them. I'll sign your bra. If you want me to sign something else, I'll sign that too.
You're a wild dude, man.
That's what we're doing out there. But yeah, game one, I got the Spurs play the Heat. Got Spurs. I told you I got the Heat win. I just think the matchup is favorable for the Heat. I think they can run them. They can run them up and down. I think LeBron's gonna be a problem. And I think Chris Bosh should be able to pull dunking away from the basket, be able to knock down that J. You'll have dunking out the lane, more room for LeBron to do work, Dwayne Wade to do work. You can't check LeBron James. And actually, Danny Green may give Dwayne Wade some issues. When Dwayne Wade's trying to take him one on one. But if Dwayne Wade takes Danny Green in the post, I think he can have his way. So I think this matchup is favorable for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, but you know, it's all speculation now. Until
I'm predicting it'll be Miami will win it in six.
I'm saying five.
I'm talking about Spurs.
Oh.
I'm already jumping.
I think that's seven games.
You think it's seven games?
I think it's seven games. I think
the stupid format. You know what? That dumb format. It's 2-3-2. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that
I
is.
I think that's seven games.
Well, I'll talk about that later. All right, we'll talk about that later when that goes down. Anyway, we about to wrap up, man. It's a great show. Will T needs to leave. He needs to go to the emergency room.
I don't need to go to the emergency room, okay, man. I just need to
I'm on your side.
Lay low, man.
Anyway, thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We appreciate it. Let me give you a couple of little reminders. Like I said earlier, we're the Urban Sports Scene, the IZRadio Network. So you make sure you check us out at www.izradio.com. You can also listen to us on our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbean.com. You know, we're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Like Will said, my face is everywhere on social media. So check it out. And if any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@izradio.com. Thanks for y'all for listening to us. We holler at y'all.
Deuces. God bless. Peace.
Sayonara, bitches.
My man.